Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Do you think Russ Meyer would like our show since we used a clip from his movie there in the open?
That's a possibility, that's for sure.
And I'm not sure. I've just always thought that was interesting to know. Anyway, okay, so since we're doing a tech retrospective.
Yes.
A retrospective on computers.
Yes.
Why don't you people out there use your computer to go to adamandeve.com. Do the rest!
What? Oh.
Do the rest of the promo.
Okay, relax. You can go to adamandeve.com when you're checking out. Use the promo code STATIC, S-T-A-T-I-C.
Yeah, it seemed like you hesitated for a second on how to spell it.
Give the guy with dyslexia a break, would you? you're very... Anyway, you'll get not only a free mystery gift, so mysterious we don't know what it is, but you'll get 50% off of any given product, which is a happy thing. Along, well, not quite any given product. I guess there are a few that it doesn't apply to, but most of what they have, and they have thousands of things leading from lingerie to movies to dildos to anal play toys to fake pussies and all kinds of stuff. So pick something out. You can get 50% off of it using the promo code STATIC. You get free shipping in the United States, the aforementioned mystery gift, and three free spank movies on DVD.
Indeed. What?
Were you dozing off during the promo there?
Yes, I was.
Oh, just wait till we get to the tech retrospective, and then we can start talking about the history of the personal computer, which came about in the 1980s when Steve Wozniak and did the, and I'll do the whole lecture like that. I had a college professor that would do all of his lectures exactly like that.
Just matter of fact, I don't give a fuck at all.
Exactly. I have done this for years. I'm tenured, and I don't care if you people pass my class or not.
Ah, so Bueller. Bueller.
Yes, it was. Bueller. No, it was worse than that because
worse than Ben Stein.
At least Ben Stein enunciates
a little bit,
but you have to understand that he would mumble everything, and so you would have to take notes just like this, and you're just like, what? And worse than that, it was communications law.
Or is this going to be something like? Remember in Real Genius, when the entire classroom was tape recorders, including the teacher, and Mitch was the only one that showed up.
You know, that's a possibility. I think today, instead of, I think if you're a smart professor, you just go ahead and videotape one of your lectures, and along with doing it in class for those that bother to show up live, you just make it available online as well.
Or you could just say, you know what, if you can't be bothered to come into class, fuck you. Then you flick, you fail. You flick. Yeah, you flick, motherfucker. Can't tell I'm having a bad day.
That's okay. That's quite all right. So
where did we leave off last week?
When we left off, the computer was in the 70s. We had those giant room-filling IBMs with the reel-to-reel tapes. And upstairs, where the actual business happened, we had a bunch of dumb terminals. And this was pretty much where the computer lived for a good while. And it wasn't really in the home. It was a business thing. That's the way my dad was proud. One of the first word processors he got for his office was this big giant thing with the dot matrix printer built right into the top of the monitor. And that's all
I'm
it
sure
did.
That weighed just a smidge. It was feather light, right?
I think the damn thing was half a ton, if I remember right. But I mean, these computers were business, and that's all they were for. And back home, we were still listening to our vinyl records on our 8-tracks and having a good time.
8-tracks always sucked.
In our leisure suits with disco. And
the only thing a leisure suit is good for is William Shatner killing hookers.
All right.
The movie Impulse, he's a leisure suit killing serial killer who...
Wait, a leisure suit killing serial killer? So he killed leisure suits?
He wore leisure suits This is what happens when I get 3 hours of sleep.
Are you drunk? What happened?
I've had 3 hours of sleep.
Okay, so your equivalency of drunk.
Yeah, I'm the equivalent of drunk, more or less. But no, William Shatner wore leisure suits, and then he would date rich women and then kill them. And then in the movie, one of their daughters starts to figure it out and starts tracking him down. It's from 1974. This is in that I'll do anything for a paycheck Shatner era.
Ah, so 1974 to present.
More or less.
Hupie and Abraham.
The movie is called Impulse.
But nonetheless, so, you know, yeah, we left off with computers being mainly for business at the place of business in the big room filling and the dumb terminals. And that's the way the mainframe was supposed to be for the rest of time. And then...
Well, no, I'm going to stop you for a
second. Sure, go ahead.
So, like you said, that's the way it's going to be for the rest of time. Does that imply that they thought there was no way this could get smaller or more efficient, or no one wanted to make it smaller and more efficient?
No one. It didn't even cross the mind of most people.
So it was one of those situations of like, we are right now at the peak of technology. It can never, ever get better than this.
And I have heard that every year since.
Oh, you okay. I can't remember the exact year of this, but you guys go and look up this old letter that our English teacher read to us. And it was about how everything that's been invented can be invented. We're at the peak of technology. We're at the peak of cultural evolution, blah, blah, blah. And he reads it verbatim. And it was written to the editorial section of a magazine in the 1890s.
Yeah.
And that was the shocker, that in the 1890s, they thought, this is it. It's never going to get better than this.
Yeah, that whole make it smaller, make it faster, make it better, make it more portable is a recent thing. I mean, in the past 20, 30 years.
Do I have any bass in my voice? Because I'm coming through really metallic in my headset.
No, you got bass in your voice. Okay. You sound good. The girls are going to love it. Yeah. Panty-melting Josh Hadley.
No, I think that's Brad Jones and Scott Murray.
Hey,
Scott,
I don't know.
Scott Jones.
I'm telling you, one of these days, Brad and I have to get together and have a sexy voice off. That would be one of the highest rated episodes of Lost in the Drome ever. But anyway, the popular legend and the popular belief is that two guys came along and changed everything.
Jobs and Wozniak?
Yeah, or two Steves in their garage.
Who got fired, both got fired from Atari for being slackers.
Yeah, and my God, being slackers at Atari, that's...
That took effort. You had to actually not slack at slacking to slack off enough to get fired from fucking Atari.
That's kind of like Nintendo firing someone for being too Japanese. It's... What? But yeah, I mean, popular legend has it that they came along and said, okay, we're computer hobbyists, and the small home computers at the time were still pretty much little black boxes with beepy lights on them, and that was about it. I mean, a lot of computers didn't even have a monitor with them. There wasn't a basic programming language. There was
this wasn't that old Warner Brothers short, The House of the Future.
Right.
Where the two dogs get trapped in it. Remember that one?
Yes. It wasn't like that, and a lot of people kind of thought that that's where the computer was going to be. It was going to be a few little hobbyists that kind of held on to it and played around at home, and that was going to be the end of it. In the meantime, the real computing power will be done at work in the mainframes and everything like that. And even though popularly a lot of people credit Jobs and Wozniak, yes, they did a lot with their Apple One.
I think they popularized it. They didn't invent it, but they popularized
it. And to tell you the truth, if they hadn't come along and done it, somebody else would. There were plenty of people out there working on it, including even people at Tandy and Commodore and
oh my God,
like
the
that.
Tandy Whiz kids from the comic books. Ah,
yes, they were real, Josh, and they
lived hated those Superman and Spider-Man teaming up with the Tandy
God.
Whiz kids.
Yeah,
but hated that shit.
But nonetheless, Jobs and Wozniak got to it first, and they built this little thing out of I think it was walnut. It was just literally wood.
The '70s was the
wood grain.
It was the wood era. Yes.
Yes, we went over that one, but they didn't think really much of it. And to tell you the truth, the real genius behind it was Wozniak. He was the one that actually built it, that put it together.
Jobs was more the marketer.
Jobs was the business guy, and yeah, he was the college dropout that became the business whiz. And look at Apple today, and yeah, that's Jobs was never there actually building the technology. He simply looked at it and made it marketable and made it fashionable. Nowadays,
because I remember everyone wanted an Apple II.
Oh,
Apple
yeah.
Apple IIe, to be specific.
I had one.
Green screen,
yep.
And that floppy drive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The peak of technology, those two big. We were lucky enough to have two floppy drives so we could copy more easily.
Well, and see, I can't say I've never had one. I never had one when they were new. I bought one from Goodwill for $2 in the early 2000s. So I did have an Apple IIe into my 30s. But I never had one when they were the new technology.
Somehow that fits. I don't know why, but I almost expect you to have a TRS. But basically what happened from the Apple I, that caught on again in that hobbyist circle. And then a couple of people went, well, wait a minute, can I use this to do my business at home and balance my budget and all that stuff? And they said, sure.
But in all honesty, from the way I understand it, what really pushed PCs into the home was games.
Yep.
People wanted to play games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, let's compare even the Apple II compared to, say, the Atari 2600. It was light years ahead. Better graphics, better sound. You had more than
errors.
That's the way it goes. But and to tell you the truth, the Apple IIe didn't really have that many errors that weren't user generated.
My experience with and I'm just talking in general PC gaming versus console gaming, is PC gaming might have, up until the current generation, had better graphics, better sound, longer gameplay. It also had more errors, more crashes, more save issues. There was a definite balance between the two, depending on what you were looking for out of a game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, and to tell you the truth, PC gaming, like you said, up until really the current generation, or, a generation before this one, it was the hobbyist. It was still a hobbyist thing because you had to balance your graphics card and your memory, and you had to have enough money to create a gaming rig, which was...
Well, and even then, you look at stuff like the Wing Commander games and, Privateer 2 and that were just prone to crashing every 5 minutes. You could have the peak efficiency computer, and every 5 minutes, and it's like, this game is unfucking playable. And then you look at the versions on the Sega CD and you go, wow, that actually didn't crash once. What the hell? Why is the PC? Yeah, the PC version has better graphics and sound, but I can play the Sega CD version.
That's weird. None of my Wing Commander games ever crashed.
Everyone I've ever known that's been a Wing Commander fan is like, yeah, these things were fucking crash prone.
I'm dead serious. Not a single Wing Commander game I've ever owned, and I pretty much own the entire series. Not one of them crashed.
Well,
but anyway, but yeah, it was a balance. But yeah, we start getting games into the home, and people start playing on their Apple IIe games like Miner 2049er and Pac-Man ripoffs and stuff like that.
Oregon Trail.
Yeah, this is, the dawn of sharing comes about, and people start sharing.
The word sharing is in quotes, yes, by the way.
People start sharing their games with one another, or, you go over to your friend's place and you find out how great this computer is, and by the way, here's an old copy of Quicken before it was QuickBooks or anything
and,
like that.
And, it's only going to cost you $1,500,
$1,983. Yeah.
Which, just everybody has lying around, right?
Sure.
It's not like today where you can just walk into a Target, buy some laptop for $300. You had to set money aside for an 80s PC. You had to budget for that. You had to justify spending 2 months' pay on this thing.
But compared to your business expense of its mainframe being, you know, $25,000,
$30,000. I'm talking about like if you wanted to game or just do your taxes at sure. home or that kind of shit.
Sure.
It really wasn't cost effective at this point. It really wasn't.
And without the drive of games, it would never have taken off. But, you know, the Apple set the example of, yes, we can market these to home. And other companies just jumped on it. I mentioned, I think this computer was pretty much ubiquitous around schools. And that was the Radio Shack TRS-80, lovingly called the Trash 80.
We had an Apple IIe at my school, actually.
We had we had a bunch of TRS-80s.
Every one of the ones we had at my school were Apple IIe with the green screen and everything.
Okay.
And the little Apple colored logo and all of it.
But then you know, the thing that I loved about the Trash 80s and the Commodore at one point, to tell you the truth, the first affordable home computer that really revolutionized things, even more so than the Apple IIe, was the Commodore 64.
Yep. Again, pushed by gaming.
Pushed by gaming. And it had some great games. No, the graphics weren't quite as up to the same resolution as some of the high-end systems at the time. But it was more affordable. It was the first computer that you could get a basic system for under $1,000. Yeah, if you want the disk drive, that's going to be a little bit more. If you want the tape drive, which we all love the tape drives, you know, that's going to be a little bit more. You know, if you want an actual Commodore monitor, that's going to be a bit more. But
because, see, it was all about the add-ons for them.
Exactly, exactly.
The system, well, that's just here and there. It's about the add-ons, though.
Exactly, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
All right, guys and gals, here it is. 1201 Beyond is hosting an Alternative Tentacles contest. How do you enter? Most of that is up to you, actually. The only part we require is that you email your submission to 1201beyond@gmail.com after you have executed whatever it is. What is it that we're asking you to do? All you have to do is come up with the best and most unique way to get the Alternative Tentacles brand out there. Or 1201 Beyond, that'd be nice as well. Tattoo the logo on your forehead, spray paint it on the side of a building, hack Spotify so all they play is Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine, whatever. That's all up to you. The most unique entry will win the newest Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine CD, White People and the Damage Done, the Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine EP, Shockupy, a DVD of Terminal City Ricochet, and an Alternative Tentacles t-shirt. What is stopping you? Go out and do it. 1201 Beyond and Alternative Tentacles are absolved of all legal responsibility due to the actions taken by the participants of this contest, and all costs and or penalties incurred are the sole responsibility of that person. 1201 Beyond and Alternative Tentacles does not encourage any illegal activity. The above examples were merely attempts to be fun.
Texas okay. Oil's favorite clown. Yeah, you heard it.
All righty.
That was from Audacity of Hope, the first Jello Biafra on the Guantanamo School of Medicine CD.
Oh, cool.
So we had to take a break because Scott had mud butt.
It's meh. it was one of those, can I just stink up the room and make Josh call for the break? No, let's play it safe. So
all right. Basically, PCs are starting to enter the home. They're starting to come down in price, although I still think it was all kind of a sham, the whole coming down in price, because the commercials always were, you know, only $599, and they show everything. Then that tiny little text, you know, except, you know,
some accessories not included.
You know, like monitor, disk drive, you know, exactly. Power cord, everything sold separately. So exactly. Really, when you still bought one, it was still over $1,000, even though they advertised under $1,000, you can get a PC. No, well, you can't. Not really.
They still do the same thing with the gaming consoles today.
Yeah.
You know, thing, especially, you know, the get a Wii for blah.
And well, then, and they always show you the ultimate top of the exactly. line, the one with all the stickers on it and all the accessories. And you go, yeah, that's not the one that Target has for $150. Exactly. It doesn't look anything like that.
The biggest offender there being the NES, because they always showed you the one that came with Rob the Robot and...
Yeah, it had the gun and yep. and all that. Yeah, the Super Nintendo one with the Super Scope and all that shit.
So anyway, computers come down into price. They're starting to enter people's homes. This is still chiefly a hobbyist type thing, but they're getting into the house and people are playing games and they're getting to be fun. And they're finally starting to get useful. Especially for things like word processing and stuff like that.
No,
but
what year are we talking here? Because I remember a second season Married with Children episode, which would make it either late 87 or early 88, depending on where in the season this was, where the Bundys had to get a PC, and Marcy made a comment like, who doesn't have a computer in their home anymore? You know, and it's like, has it become so ingrained by 88 that... everyone had a PC?
Well, I'm still hanging around 83, 84, 85, somewhere around there, where we're still in the hobbyist. The TRS-80 is making inroads, but, you know, by far, yeah, Apple was the one. We had the 2E, the 2 Plus, the 2C.
And you have the famous 1984 Apple commercial from 1984 for the Super Bowl one directed by Ridley Scott.
That was the one commercial that public-wise really brought computers into the home.
Do you know the funny thing about that commercial?
What?
No one wanted to do it. Even Steve Jobs said, this commercial will destroy the company because no one's going to get it. It's over the heads of the audience. And of course, it proved to the entire board wrong. Because basically, it was one of those, we didn't even look at the commercial until we'd already submitted it to the Super Bowl, and it's like, shit.
Yeah.
And then it was, after they saw it, they're like, this is disaster. Ridley Scott just killed our company. Oh, wait. Okay. wait. That's not how it actually worked, but that's what the board was thinking, which to me goes more to that they really do not know how to gauge the public. You know, it's like that... it's like that line that Stan Shepner gave when Harlan Ellison was working on the old Sixth Sense TV series in the 70s. Stop bringing intelligent scripts. We're making the Saturday morning funnies for these people. You know, they really do think the audience is that fucking dumb.
Yeah, but, you know, this was also things happening at Apple during that time. Steve Jobs may have been in charge, but he wasn't really in charge. He was being... wrangled by the board, and it was shortly after this that he would be booted out.
Yeah.
You know, but by 1987, 1988, by then, everybody had, well, I can't say everybody, most people, middle class and up, had some sort of computer in their home.
If you, by some sort of, you mean like a gaming console, I had a Nintendo, and that, well, I never had a PC, never until I was an adult, and in my entire childhood, which would be through 93, never had a computer.
Well, I mean, most people had some sort of PC. A lot more people had gaming consoles. I mean, during that time, the NES was ruling everything. So yeah, okay, that counts as kind of a computer.
Well, because it is a computer.
Yeah, but it's a very special.
Yeah, it's a specified computer.
But a lot of people also had PCs. And there were still, you know, we still have the gaming PC hobbyists and the people that have to have, you know, the big box with the glowing inside and all this.
Oh, my God, the hard drive is crashing at an alarming rate. Professor Frink's clear hard drive that you could see and then it catches fire.
Oh, yes. But yeah, by 1987, 88, they really made inroads. Now, but the computers were still relatively isolated. This is at the beginning of the time when modems started to make an inroad, and this is the time that 1986 on up when it was the time of the BBS. It was our pre-internet internet. You could dial into your local BBS, share files that way. You finally had the IBM clones that had come about that kind of replaced Apple and had hard drives in them, so you didn't have to worry about copying everything down to little floppies by this time.
Or that famous Bill Gates quote that he says he never actually said, 128K is enough for anybody.
Nope.
He claims he never said
640K.
I thought it was less than that. Okay.
Nope. 640K ought to be enough memory for everybody.
Which, by the way, is so minuscule by today's standards. It's tiny. You can't even save a fucking photo with that nowadays almost.
But the truth is, he never did say that.
I know. That's why. But for the longest time, that quote was attributed to him. That's why I specifically threw the conjoinder out there. He says he never said that.
Right. But they've come in. We've got hard drives. We've got modems on there. You're dialing into things like, gosh, back home it was the MUG, the Muncie Microcomputer Users Group, amongst other nationwide BBSs, and we had things. You know, this was the birth of, oh my gosh, there are other people out there that are just as enthusiastic about the computer.
I'm talking to somebody on the computer.
Well, but more than that, it wasn't really that you were amazed that you were talking to somebody on the computer. It's that you were talking to somebody that knew as much about the computer as you did, as opposed to just talking to your parents, where it's mainly teaching them how to do things with the computer.
It brought nerds together.
It did. It really did. That was the beginning of the information age. And
Adelaide, stop it. She's just like trying to type, man.
Yeah, she does that.
He's got a cat on his lap and she's just pawing the keyboard. It's like, stop it.
But yeah, there's, you know, this was the dawning of the information age. And shortly after this, coming around in 1990, computers continue to fall in price, so they're getting into more and more homes, including homes that couldn't afford them in the past. Modems have come down from $200 a piece to $19.95.
Well, by the time I got into buying a PC, modem is included. It's like, right, you don't have to go buy that shit separate anymore.
Right. But, and so these brilliant people that had been working on it since the 70s, the early 70s, finally said, okay, let's just allow these computers to access our network, and we'll come up with this interconnected network. Interconnected net. That's a lot of syllables. What do we call it? What do we call it? DARPANET. No. It became the internet. And thank good. And I've talked about this on previous shows when we talked about history of the internet, so I'm not going to go into that. But it was DARPA opening up DARPANET and turning it into the internet and the U.S. intercontinental internet backbone.
Well, I want to ask you something about...
Sure.
Now, lots of sitcoms and sketch shows have made parodies of this, and to a degree, they're not that wrong. One of the problems with, to me, 90s computers was how fast upgrades came out. I mean, it almost was the day you bought a computer, it was out of date because something far better was going to come out the next week. So I actually, when my grandparents were wanting to get a computer, it was, why should we buy it? It's always out of date. This is stupid. Why can't they just give us the top of the line instead of always going, next week it's better, and then next week it's better, and then next week it's better?
Name a product that's not like that.
But I'm just saying, when you're spending a grand, that's irritating. When you're buying Pop-Tarts that do that, that's different.
When you're buying a car and you drive it off the lot and it's immediately depreciated by 30, 40%.
Depreciated?
Depreciated.
That's not what you said. You said depreciated.
I meant depreciated.
Okay.
You know, name a product that doesn't do that. They're always coming out with something better.
But computers were ridiculous at this.
That's because Moore's Law was in full swing.
I was just sick of every time that I tried to upgrade my computer, it was the argument I always had with my wife was, why don't we wait till next week? Because, you know, I've seen commercials for such and such, and then you're getting ready to go buy that next week, and you go, well, now there's commercials for such, and you never actually buy the damn thing, so you're always waiting for the next upgrade. Ah! Okay, I'm done.
Thank you.
Continue.
Deal with it.
Continue.
Sunglasses come down. That's just the way it was. Moore's Law in the 90s and such was in full swing, which basically means every 18 months or so, you're going to double your processing power. And when it comes to computers, you had two chip companies at that time that were at war worse than Pepsi and Coke were. You had Intel and AMD that were making chips for...
Intel Inside, I remember that.
Yeah, Intel Inside, and AMD was the quiet competitor that, frankly, anytime I heard somebody go, I want an Intel chip, I could steer them over to AMD where it was. And now Intel is coming out on top just because of their architecture. But they've been fighting for a long, long time. Competition breeds making things better. And that's the way the 90s went. We made leaps and bounds in the processing, in the ability. The real change came in manufacture. It is now, 100 times easier to manufacture a chip than it was in the 80s or the 90s. And true. That's just the way it is. It's also considerably cheaper, which is why you can go to Walmart and plop down $200 and get not a great computer, but a decent one.
It'll do what it needs to do.
Yeah, it'll get you online, which
you
is...
You can watch DVDs on it and shit.
And it'll get you online, which is what most people use their computer for anymore.
Well, like a perfect example, jumping ahead in the timeline a little bit, but a perfect example is I bought a computer last year. Top of the line, it was... Everything was the top of the line, okay? So a couple of months later, my son went and bought me a Blu-ray drive for my birthday.
Okay.
Computer can't play Blu-ray. The video card isn't fast enough.
Right.
Yet that was the top. So it's like, seriously, I have to buy another computer to play fucking Blu-rays on for the Blu-ray drive I bought. This is dumb.
You just go out and get a better graphics card.
But it's like I bought a top-of-the-line thing while Blu-ray was there. So this is the top-of-the-line computer. I buy a Blu-ray drive within the same time frame, and no, it won't. The Blu-ray drive won't play on the top-of-the-line computer. Sorry.
Welcome to Gripes of the Uninitiated and Uneducated, starring Josh Hadley. It's called consumerism. That's the way things go. If I go out and I buy a 2013 Fiat 500, which I adore those little cars, by the way.
Okay, you are gay then.
Fuck you. You know what's going to happen? The 2014s are going to come out and they're going to be just a little bit better than the 2013s.
But it all of a sudden won't say, hey, the 2013 won't take gas anymore. You got to upgrade to the 2014 to get gas.
It depends on what they do with the powertrains. You never know with the way things are changing and with as energy conscious as people are, maybe that might happen someday.
You see my point, though, how when the Blu-ray drive and the computer are out simultaneously, that they won't work together because the computer is not fast enough for the Blu-ray drive. That is fucking stupid.
No, that's life.
That's stupid.
That's life.
It's dumb.
No, it's not. But, anyway, so as we move into the 90s and the internet starts making some noise.
Literally.
At first it's kind of Wild West and it's text only and it's still a hobbyist thing. And, once it hits the public, it's been first off through the government's hands, through DARPA, and then into the hands of universities, because guess who was doing the research for DARPA? Universities were. And Stanford and a couple others went, you know what? We're connected to this network. We're going to freaking use it. Bitch, and we're going to connect up all these other universities and we'll be able to share education and we'll end up with a smarter populace that will never come up with a show like Honey Boo Boo. Then it gets into the consumer's hands. And to tell you the truth, for the longest time through the first half of the 90s, you're still mainly a university thing with AOL and stuff, and people are going, okay, so why do I need this internet? And it wasn't porn and it wasn't games that drove this computer boom from the mid-90s up until the early 2000s.
Mid-2000s. It was still porn.
No, it really wasn't. Porn was an extra added side effect. But to tell you the truth, what really drove it were sites like Amazon. and useful things online like Google and Frugal and all of their deals and that dot-com boom.
I'm thinking about something, and now this is a slight tangent, but it's still on the same topic.
Sure.
Found a vending machine at an old hotel, and I wanted to get some Doritos. I got a thing of Doritos out of it, and it was the second to last one in the thing. This is like in the early 2000s, okay? And there was a bag of Doritos in there. It's clearly been in there a long time. At the back, it had an expiration date of 1997 on it. Okay?
Okay, that's a bad vending company.
Yes, it is. But on the front of the Doritos bag, it still had a www.doritos.com or whatever it was.
Sure.
And I was kind of surprised that, wow, because, okay, if that outdates in 97, it was probably manufactured in 95 or 96, that they were already pimping the websites. And that's really kind of before computers were really into the home. And by the way, I really should have bought that old bag of Doritos just to keep it.
Yeah,
I really should have. I didn't think of that till years later that it's like, oh, you know what? With that vending company, it might actually still be there. For all I know, it might actually.
Right next to the case of Ecto Cooler.
I got a bag of Famous Amos cookies that don't outdate till 2019. It's clearly a misprint, but I thought that was kind of funny.
I have one box of original Twinkies. I still have a box of Hostess Twinkies.
Are you just going to pull the Homer Simpson and ferment them until they become wine drink them with a straw?
No, it's just going to stay away until we're probably going to end up with Pabst Twinkies.
Probably. But I'm just saying, when did that really start that computers were so ingrained into culture that every place started to have a website and you started to see go to MountainDew.com in the commercials and, you know, that they knew that the internet / computers were so ingrained into people that they were pushing this? Because let's face it, guys, if you went to Doritos.com in 1995, what were you going to do there?
Yeah,
there was nothing there other than to go, oh, hey, Doritos has a website. Okay.
I mean, if you want to see what it's like, check out the website for Space Jam. Yeah, which is hasn't
still
changed.
There.
And the truth is, it was a novelty at first, but what really ingrained it was the dot-com boom.
Don't you mean bust?
No, I mean the boom.
Followed by the bust.
They always are. But during the dot-com boom, during that 94, 95, 96 through about 99, if your company didn't have a website, you were behind the times. It doesn't matter that at Doritos.com you got a pretty picture of some Doritos with a sparkly GIF background and under construction GIF and maybe a couple of backgrounds for your computer that you could download. It doesn't matter that there was nothing there. It was the fact that it was there and we're online and we're hip and we're cool.
It just seems so pointless, though. If there's nothing there, then what's the point?
Well, that's the thing. It was one of those technologies that came about, and kind of everybody realized that we need an online space, and we need to reserve Doritos.com, and we need to reserve space online, and we need to upgrade. Well, what do we do with it? Well, I don't know, but we'll figure that out. But we need it for
you. Stay away from my web zone.
You know, that's the way it was. You know, it was one of those where everybody realized they needed it, but then the really useful stuff came about later. Now the really useful things are things like social networking, things like Facebook and Twitter and immediate feedback. You wouldn't believe how many times I've just tweeted out. For instance, I was having problems with my Xbox, and this was a couple of years ago, and I tweeted out, you know, just mentioning that, hey, my Xbox is about to red ring to death, or it's making this funny noise, whatever the hell it was. And all of a sudden, somebody from Xbox support immediately got back to me.
Good luck. You're talking science fiction. Xbox support takes days to get back to you, man.
No, they don't. Not if you tweet them. Not
Fuck
if you.
You
tweet them. They get back within minutes.
Alex Jowski calls me Josh Too Good for Tweeting Hadley.
Yes, I know. However, I follow your doppelganger on Twitter, and he's hilarious.
A lot of people on the comments on Brad's site are like, why can't you be like fake Josh? Exactly. He's much more fun.
He really is. I want to go to a barbecue with that guy after church. But it's...
You can watch a Bunheads marathon.
Exactly. But to be honest, I mean, that was where the really useful stuff came in. There was a long time where people were going, what the heck do I do with this?
And it Yeah, because when I first got the internet, and keep in mind, at this point, I was still really poor. You can make fun of me because you already have... We couldn't afford a computer, but we wanted to be online, so we got web TV, which,
right.
You know, yes, it's a joke now, but you go, well, I can pay $1,000 plus the internet connection fee to the ISP, or I can pay the ISP and $50 total, and that's it. It's kind of a no-brainer if you don't need the computer for anything, isn't it? So why did everybody make fun of the web TVers? Why was that, oh my God, that's like ghetto internet, man, web TV? Oh, you can't afford $1,000? Well, fuck you. You shouldn't be on the internet then.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Shouldn't it be, hey, I'm on the internet, should it matter how?
But you're not. You weren't with web TV. You really weren't. You were in this little walled garden, and... With web TV, you could probably do about 30% of the things that were available online.
I could go to any website that was out there. I could download photos to the web TV hard drive. I could send emails. I could go to the bulletin boards. I could pretty much do anything except play video.
And if that's all you want to do, that's fine. But you got to remember that in the early days of the internet, it was hobbyists, and it was people that... You know, people in the know, people that really got into following this stuff, used it for trading files, for, given it was, you know, the size of a postage stamp, but you would trade video on it. You would...
QuickTime 3.0.
When dealing with the news, you know, news groups and stuff like that, God, we hated it, web TVers, because...
And see, that's the kind of elitism that I think only car... geeks and computer geeks have. If you don't have the highest, most advanced, most expensive technology, then I don't even want you looking at my shit. I get that all the time.
Do you just
want
to spend the rest of this go ahead and rant? I'm done.
No, I'm asking you, why are computer nerds so fucking arrogant about, yo, I've got this and I can do so many processes per second and I've got so many lines of graphic on my monitor? Ugh, you've got last year's model? You're no good. There's always been this arrogance of computer users that only car geeks seem to rival.
Because at the time, okay, car geeks and computer geeks, there are car geeks, if you can keep your car going and you've got a classic car and you work on it yourself and you build it, it's a matter of pride. At the time, the computers, you could go to the store and you could get a pre-built Gateway or a Dell or something like that that... almost had planned obsolescence built in, and it had onboard graphics cards and sound cards and stuff like that. Or you could build a home system yourself. And it wasn't an elitism. You were misreading it. It was a pride. I built this.
No, it was an elitism. When they're like, hey, you know, until you've got technology that can compete with mine, don't you dare show your face on my board again. That's elitism. That's not going, I am really proud of my thing. It's going, you can't fucking compete. Get away from me.
And those were jerks.
And that's every single person I encountered on the 90s internet.
It's because the web TV people didn't know what the fuck they were doing was half the time.
I was just fine with it. I knew what I was doing. I knew where I was going.
You were rare.
I mean, you know, I know the AOL is also looked down on, even by me, because AOL kind of sucks.
Well, it still does, yeah.
I'm actually surprised. Every now and then I'll get a message from a fan, and I'm not trying to be arrogant about this, from an AOL.com, and I go, really? You're still using AOL?
Well, there are a lot
today?
There are a lot of people out there that use AOL webmail, and it's right alongside Yahoo Mail and even Gmail to some extent. So it's not a bad little mail system.
I just kind of imagine somebody still with the, you've got mail, and shit. I just imagine that, and it kind of makes me go, oh. So there, arrogance on my part.
There you go.
You know.
And that's how we viewed the web TV people. It's because 90% of them, and you can count yourself in the 10 percentile, but 90% of them didn't know what the hell they were doing. They were just, it was...
Because I remember, like, even getting in discussions on bulletin boards. If people would just discount you, doesn't matter what point you were making, didn't matter if you were 100% factually correct, they're like, he's a fucking web TVer. You're going to listen to him? Well, yeah. That's kind of an arrogance.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got a dot, you know, at webtv.com.
Josh,
well,
stop.
Then you're not
Josh,
smart.
Josh, why the hell are you getting pissed at people for having arrogance? You.
Yeah.
Are getting pissed at people.
I'm complex
for
like
being
that.
Arrogant.
I'm complex like that, Scott. Yes. Complexity.
You hurt my brain.
Yes, I do.
So often.
Well, now, to go back to computers. Now, you had your computer die, what was it, a year ago?
A while back.
Well, I just can't remember exactly how long it was.
Yeah, me either.
And you have not really upgraded. You've gone to your laptop. Is there a reason that you've kind of said goodbye to the desktop version anyway?
Yeah, I'm poor.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. Or is it that you've kind of just said the laptops are technically more advanced at this point than, you know, for the same price, really.
For the same price, yeah, the laptops are a little bit easier because you can carry them around and they do what it does what I need it to do. It gets online. I do most of my stuff online now. I use cloud processing. I don't need the big powerhouse. I don't play games like I used to, or if I do, they're online. Don't worry, guys, not Facebook games. I hate them.
But, you know,
if I do play games, they're online.
I'm going to say something to all of our listeners that are our Facebook friends. I get one more goddamn request for a Facebook game from you people, and I'm unfriending you.
Everybody should send Josh Facebook
game
requests.
I am so sick of, you know, somebody needs this for Crystal Castle. Somebody needs this for Farmville. Somebody needs this for this. I don't play these things. Fuck off.
But nonetheless, you know, it does what I need it to do, and I'm enough of an adult to go, I'd love, oh, don't get me wrong. If I had the money to spend, I would build a kick-ass gaming rig.
Would you build Skynet?
No. It would be a simple little plain black box, but it would be like having the body of a Ford Pinto with the engine from a Lamborghini.
So to tie this all back around, now, you obviously, being a computer geek, came up with all this stuff.
Yes, I did.
Whereas to somebody who is of the younger generation, can you explain to them why the stepping stones of the Apple IIe or the Apple III, even though that was a disaster and whatnot,
or the
Lisa,
were
so important?
Before you can run, you have to learn to walk. And the things that the stepping stones did was, number one, it brought programming from the elite business programmer down to, especially with the basic programming language, it brought it down to the home user. And you ended up with a hobbyist that could then write a program and distribute it versus having to pay a firm of professional COBOL programmers and stuff to do that. That's your very first step when it comes to bringing it into the home. The second step was getting through this stuff and working out how to make it better, how to go from that command line interface of DOS
basic
and stuff like that into a true GUI, like the first true GUI, by the way, Windows 95. The first true graphical user interface.
Yeah, because Windows...
That was mainstream. Yes,
Windows
Linux.
Windows 95 introduced everything that we associate with a modern computer, the drop-down menus.
Nope.
That was the first one that really did it.
Windows 3.1 introduced all
that. Oh, no one had Windows 3.1.
I did.
You were the only person, apparently.
No, I wasn't. Windows 3.1 was what built Gates' fortune. What the hell are you talking about?
Windows 95 is what the mainstream first encountered.
Nope.
Overall.
Nope.
Mainstream.
Nope.
I'm not talking computer nerds or tech guys.
Nope. God, you're wrong.
I have never met a person that did not start at Windows 95.
Howdy, are you wrong? You also hang out with a rather non-technological crowd. But nonetheless, no, all of this stuff was introduced at one time, but these stepping stones were important in order to reach where we are now. I mean, it's you can't go from, well, let's stick with, you can't go from a bicycle to a Lamborghini.
But like a challenge I'd like to throw out to all of our listeners, if you have access to it, if you have access to some, say, 95 through 99 old tower sitting in your basement, maybe it's got Windows 95, 98 on it, go boot that bitch up and just go on the internet with it for a couple of hours to see what we went through.
You want to know something really scary? I had to go on the internet a while back in order to refresh my brain on some of the DOS command prompts.
Okay.
Because I was playing with DOSBox and a few other things, just looking up my old software, trying to get it run on Windows Vista. Yeah, I know. But just trying to get it to run, and I sat there and I looked at my C prompt and I was like,
what do I type? Well, because my mom recently upgraded to a real computer, but otherwise she still had Windows 98 and probably a 99, 2000 era computer.
Okay. You know?
And so I plugged it in my basement last year. Just, I wanted to see what was on it.
Sure.
I couldn't use it. It was just so antiquated. And this is me. I was just like, everything's too big. It's too dull. Nothing's where I know it is. Because see, like, I had trouble moving over to Windows 7. You know, everything's in a different spot and everything. Now I'm so used to Windows 7 going back to anything pre that now looks weird because nothing's where I remember it is anymore.
Yeah.
It's irritating.
But yeah, if you get a chance, and I hate the fact that Time Warner took away my Usenet use groups. I really do. I miss it. I always used a reader called Gravity. It was wonderful.
Why did they take it away? They just stopped support for it?
Yeah, no, basically they took access to it off of their network. I can't get to it without going through a different paid service now.
Ah, okay.
And yeah, they just stopped offering it because of what we're going to talk about next week, which is piracy and hacking and all of that, but especially the piracy that was on there and the illegal content.
Well, maybe not. We got a special guest coming, so I don't know if he'll be on next week or the week after.
Okay,
so.
Well, we'll figure that out. But next in our tech retrospective.
Yeah, we may be skipping a week.
We may be taking a week where you talk to our special guest that's coming up, which I'm actually excited about.
Ben from the Oddity Archive.
Yes.
So, to me, I think the shit moves a little too fast. Like my Blu-ray example, that, you know, the computer should have been able to play Blu-ray when they're selling the Blu-ray burner or the Blu-ray player at the same time. And you go, oh yeah, but it can't play, the computer can't play Blu-ray yet. That, I'm thinking, shit's moving either too fast or not fast enough, that then don't offer the Blu-ray player unless it can be fucking played. What?
Nothing. It hurts me to try and explain some of this stuff to you. But nonetheless, to me, it doesn't move fast enough. And I'm behind the curve. I'll admit this laptop desperately needs replaced now.
Are you going to buy one of them like Google Glasses things? So
you're right I am.
Seriously?
Yes. You are damn right I am. I want my Google, if I could afford, like I said,
I don't know what the first, I don't know what the initial price is going to supposed
not
to be.
Not cheap.
Can you be a little more specific than not cheap? I just haven't read enough to know what launch price is.
I think they're hovering around, I realize that the advertised price is lower, but because you need a monthly, like a cell plan, basically, in order to have access the stuff while you're out and about. You can kind of bet on plunking down about $1,000, and if I could afford it, yeah, I would so become one of the Google Goggle users, and
of course you
all
would.
Of that.
Of course you would. Just play the closing. Jesus.
Have a good one, guys. We'll see you next week. Lost in the Static is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.